in that, because that's when the Holy Spirit moves. Today is Pentecost Sunday. We don't, you know, we used to be in a church where we had one service a year where you talked about the Holy Spirit. Well, we don't really need a Pentecost Sunday. We're talking about the Holy Spirit all the time, and we're going to keep talking about the Holy Spirit. But today we still acknowledge that Pentecost was such an important event.
Amen.
But it has to do with unity. It has to do with partnership. It has to do with the body of Christ pulling and working together and loving each other. And that's been a theme from this service from the beginning, right? God's doing great things. God's doing great things. Last week, talked about the next story in Luke 5, the story of the leper. The leper who should have been living in a colony somewhere, who should have been crying, unclean, unclean, but instead we find him in the crowds of people. Really an unusual thing. Right? He's right in the crowds. No one is going to steal his miracle. And he comes up to Jesus and he says, Jesus, just if you'll just touch me, if you're willing, you can touch me, you can heal me. And Jesus says, oh, I'm willing. And he touches the leper. He actually touches the leper. He reaches out his hand, Luke says, and he touched the leper. He touched the leprosy, and he healed him. We talked last week, and it was a hard discussion, about why sometimes miracles don't happen. Why sometimes healing doesn't take place. And I gave you four reasons. The first is because of that whole partnership thing. We're not working in partnership. When we don't work in unity, we don't work in partnership, but we're just individualistic and everything's about mine, mine, mine. When that happens, the power of God isn't available for us. That we need to be united for the whole power of the Spirit to really be unleashed. The second thing I said is sometimes we don't get a miracle because we don't need it. That God only gives us miracles that we need. And sometimes we're asking God for things that we don't need at all. We don't want this miracle, God. It's a need, I think. This isn't a need. Sometimes the things we ask for are things we can take care of ourselves. The things that are in our cave. You know, like I said, the Wizard of Oz is someone that gave us, or gave the people, gave the straw man or whatever, the tin man, what they already had. Right? You want, well, you always had courage, you know? But God doesn't do that. He doesn't give us what we already have. God gives us what we need. So when we ask God for healing or for a miracle in our lives, it needs to be something that we really need and that only God can do, and it isn't something we can do for ourselves. That's really what we need to do. The third thing is we need to ask. I talked about that too. I'm going to give you this as kind of a brief summary. Some of you are going, well, if you could have done it in 5 minutes, why didn't you do it in 5 minutes last week? I'm talking fast, and you've got to listen fast. We've got to really ask God. We need to petition God. It says, ask and you will receive. And we see that this leper got on his face. He got in the dirt, it says. And he pleaded with Jesus, Jesus, if you're just willing to touch me. We need to be serious about how we ask God. And then the last point last week was, we also need to be willing to be vulnerable and allow Jesus to touch us. And that sometimes you may not have received a miracle or a healing or what you need in your life because Jesus reaches out and you go, not right now. We need to let Jesus touch us. He wants to reach out. He wants to actually touch us. He wants to heal. And sometimes we defer. Well, not today. Let Len have the miracle today. See, I know you. You'll say, okay. Len's always willing. But so we need to receive it. Really, it's about receiving. We need to receive what he wants to give us. Amen. Now turn with me to the next story. And we're going to spend a few weeks on this too. But today we look at the story of the paralytic and the guy who's lowered down from the roof by his four friends. We read there, and this is in Luke chapter 5. Read with me starting in verse 17. But one day, as Jesus was teaching, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem who were sitting there, that the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Ooh, we're going to get to that not today, but another day. You read it again. That the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. And some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat
and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. And everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Isn't that great? "We have seen remarkable things today." I really believe that God is he's doing remarkable things among us as well. And I think he's doing it more and more. I think, and maybe it's just that my eyes are being opened more and more. But God is doing remarkable things, and it's just seeming to me, and you can agree with this or you cannot agree with this, but it just seems to me that the ground is becoming more and more fertile for miracles. That,
amen.
That God, I think that God is seeing a faithful people, and he responds to that by doing wondrous works and miraculous things. Mm-hmm. And I think that we ought to acknowledge that today, that some amazing things are happening. Some stories that could only be explained by the power of God. And I know that there's probably, more than I even know about. I just sometimes hear about these stories. But I want you guys to hear a couple of quick stories today, just so we can give God the glory, and so that we acknowledge that this is actually happening. There are miracles, there are healings that are taking place among us. And that's an exciting thing. And I know that you're joined with me when we say to God, "God, just keep it up, Lord. Just be faithful and just show us what you're doing here." And I want to start with you, Mitch. Can you just, I know I just told you before the service, so he's not all prepared for this, but use this. What's gone on in your life?
I guess I have the American spelling.
Start with.
It is, I think.
No?
Okay, talking to this.
Hello?
Anybody home? Amen.
Well, I'm going to start. 2 weeks ago, I was wandering the garden. The water splashed on the deck, and I didn't notice the puddle of water, and I just slipped, and I flew 3 feet off my deck and landed on my elbow, and it broke. So I didn't know it broke right away, but I had to go to work, and Kathy, Albert's wife, was my first client, and I cut her hair with a broken elbow. Now that's a miracle right there. I didn't know it was broken, though. I thought it was bruised. Then this next lady came in, and I started her hair right when it finished. It was too painful. So then I go to the hospital, takes an x-ray that's split open like this. And he said, "We're going to have to put a steel plate and 6 screws. And I said, "I can't. I cannot be off work. I don't have compensation." He said, "Well..." I said, "Well..." Anyways, I go home, and I'll make a longer story short. When I came to church that Sunday, Carl said, "Mitchell, you can't have a broken elbow. Come here." And he prayed, and I felt the power of God go through my arm, through my leg, and I knew my arm was healed.
Praise God.
I took the cast off when I got home. It was totally healed.
Thank you, Lord.
Screws, no steel plate. But just before that happened, Crystal came up to me, and she said, "Mitchell, I've been really praying for you, and I really feel it's something to do with the intimacy with God." God, why would you let this happen to me? You know I can't work, and I need to make money to pay the bills, and I know you're going to take care of me somehow. But she was right. I just trusted him.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted me to trust him. And when I got home that day, I was praying, and the Lord said, Mitchell, I'm not a withholding father.
Mm-hmm.
I am not like your earthly father.
Mm-hmm.
I will give you what you need, like Stan said. And I mean it.
That's right.
I really did. And he gave it to me.
I want people to hear your story too, Billy.
Is it on?
Oh, yeah, it's on. Okay. God is
okay, 5 years ago. Can you hear me, or do you want me to wait?
Just wait a minute. Thank you, God. Just pray for this man. Thank you. Bind up the broken heart. You promise us that, Lord. You promise us. You bind up the broken heart. You set the prisoner free. Hallelujah. Freedom. Declare freedom.
Generational ties of her family, God, the generational sins, we break that by your blood in the
Anymore. I have been with man after man after man, and I don't know what love is. And then if you were here that Sunday, you saw that she just went from, there's 30 people that stood up and gave her an embrace and hugged her and loved her in a way that I don't think she's ever experienced before in her life. And I don't know where she is right now. I don't know what she's doing, but I know that that's a miracle too. I know that God was working in her life.
Yeah.
And all I want to say today, and it doesn't even matter what the message was. If we get to it, we get to it. But God, do what you want to do here.
Yes, Lord.
God has your way. Lord, let it not be that our agenda is more important than your agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Or that we're so busy that we don't have the time. Or that we want to push people aside because they happen to be drunk this Sunday. Lord, this is someone that you love. This is a child of the King. She's been raped. She just lost a baby. Same thing. I believe it was a baby who was born, stillborn. She's been through hell.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't show love to her, who's going to show love to her?
They've got Kleenex. Yep.
Billy, can you tell a little bit of your story, too? I know this is, timing is not, it doesn't matter, though, right?
That's right.
So you can stand wherever you want.
Well, just pray for her.
Yeah.
Keep praying for her.
Yeah.
5 years ago, I had lung cancer, and I had the doctor was and he removed half my right lung, and I had chemo and the whole bit, and for every year after that I had CT scans, and they always said you've got 4 spots on the other lung, and so we have to keep watching them, and because if they change we'll have to something, and you have some COPD, and so I go home, okay, yeah, thank you, and so this year he said to me, I want you to go to clinic for lungs, it's a lung clinic, and we want to test your lungs out really good, because I was having some trouble breathing, and So I went to the clinic, and the man who was taking the test said to me, I find it really hard to believe that you only have a half right lung. And I said, yeah, well, that's the way it is. and so then the next week I went to see my doctor. He said, both your lungs are working at 102% capacity. He never even mentioned the COPD, never mentioned spots on the other lung, just your lungs are both, not just one, he said, both working at 102%. And so that song really spoke to me that, you know, I love you, Lord, because you have given me life. And he really has. He's given me life.
Come to me. Good morning. Good morning. Hallelujah for these miracles. Last Sunday I got up and I asked prayer, giving prayer, and I went and man had put his hand on my head. And I'm telling him what all the confusion was all about, and I didn't know what the confusion was, but there was confusion in my head and in my heart. And he told me, he had prayed over on my head. And he says, Betty, today I want you to go home and you keep repeating, I am receiving, Lord. I am receiving. And I did it. And I did it. And I did it. I said, Lord, you're healing. Yeah, I am receiving your healing. Monday morning, and I was taking these pills that the doctor gave me, that was the answer to all my problems, you know? I woke up Monday morning, and I had this awful rash around me. It was going on. And that was one of the signs of an allergy to this medication that they put me on. So Mom would take me to the hospital and they looked at it. And it was a funny thing, they couldn't figure it out. Well, I know what it is. I've got the book and I've got the pills here to prove to you that this isn't what I can take. And by God's grace, I haven't taken that pill since a week ago today. I was reading last Sunday and tears welled in my eyes because it gave me such double vision that I couldn't read the music, I couldn't read the scripture on the wall, and I'm going, Lord, what is so crazy going on in my mind? And my heart was through Jesus come in and heal us, you know. And by and it is, it's a miracle. In 3 days, the joy, the peace, the love I have for others has come to me where it was before, but this is forever and forever. Amen.
Week too, but I want Frank to say something. I just feel like God. I don't know, Frank, if you're ready. If you say no to this, that's okay. But I believe that, you know, God's been using you, and I don't know. God's just saying, give you an opportunity here to share what God is doing. And, you know, God's doing mighty things, right? He's a healing God. He's a God who is hearing stories about heaven. These aren't just stories. And, you know, one thing I want to say, some of you, you might be new here today. A few of the people that stood up are quacks, but a few of them aren't. You know, they're normal, real normal kind of people. I'm supposed to laugh at that person. You know, these are people that don't even stand up and talk sometimes. And God is really working. He really is doing miracles in people's lives.
I was just noticing from the back there, a minute ago, this lady comes in and she starts crying. You know, there's a cry from the spirit. And if you think about it, every one of us has that cry inside of us. Every one of us has hurts. Every one of us has regrets. Every one of us has suffered great loss. You know? And because, you know, he has been touched himself with the feelings of our infirmities, and he is a faithful high priest. The Bible says that he is the high priest of our confession. So if we'll take the words that he has given us, and the compassion that we feel for another, our sister modeled it for us quite nicely when she prayed for this woman earlier. The cries came out. And those cries are heard. He is the high priest of our profession. What we profess, what we pray, what we believe him for when we pray, he's the high priest, and he's faithful, and he's touched with that same compassion. When we draw from the Spirit of grace, that compassion from God, anything can happen. And you know what? We can expect it to happen. We can expect that when we have his heart of compassion for another person, and through that compassion we just reach out and touch, we can expect remarkable, miraculous things. And we do it, you know, we do it all the time, and the more you press in and the more passionate you stay about your faithful high priest and the one who is the miracle worker, he will flow through you like never before. And he will flow, if you'll only trust him, if you'll just say, okay, I'll step in the breach, I'll pray for this person, I'll take authority over the addictions and the things that are troubling people's life. I'll jump in there and do it. Right? You know, and when you do that, you're exactly like Jesus. You're exactly like Jesus. And when you're exactly like Jesus, you're walking in faith. And when you're walking in faith, it's not necessarily, you know, drawing from what you think you might have to offer, but drawing from that reservoir of God. Everything that's in the reservoir of God, all the healing, all the miracles, all the compassion, all the ability to lift up the needy, lift up the hungry. One of my favorite scriptures is found in Psalms chapter 113, verses 7 and 8. He lifts the poor out of the dust, and the needy out of the dunghill. Why? So that he might set them with princes, even the princes of his people. Right? Well, we to be above anybody else. Right? And we have all come from broken places. We have all been needy. We have all hurt. But God's desire is to sit you with kings, to set a banquet table before you in the presence of your enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Even though life goes on and it's hurt and it hurts and we have our things, but you know what? He is able and willing and wants to pick you up out of all that and dust you off and set you, you know, in your Sunday best or whatever, you know, and to put you with others who are in the same family of God. So I think if you kind of will allow God to impart His compassion in your heart, and allow you to realize that you do have that reservoir where all the healings come from inside of you, resident in you in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That great things will happen. We could go on all day talking about miracles, and let me tell you, I have some incredible things that have happened where you will see everybody who needs to be healed in a single setting, everybody get healed at once. At once. Because Jesus healed us all, right? He healed them all. So he set the bar pretty high. If we only set the bar to just a single person and maybe once in a lifetime see some kind of miracle, then we're shooting kind of low, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
If he's able to heal us all, then we're shooting kind of low. So why don't we start looking for healing them all?
Amen. You know,
if there's 100 that need to be healed, and we get 99 of them healed, that's a pretty good accomplishment, I think. Well, anyway, let your mind be the same. Let the mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you. You know, that mind, let that mindset, that ability to see the possibilities, that ability to say, you know what? We can heal the sick.
Yes.
We can raise the dead. We can cast out devils. Freely, each of us has received. What have we received? Something that we can now give. You see, Peter and John, when they healed the man at the beautiful gate, they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." Hallelujah. They had been given something. They had received something. And now they had the ability to give. You have the ability to give. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
There's one teaching today. Real short sermon.
because you've been hearing from God all morning, I think, and God speaks through lots of different people today, and I think that's exciting. It's great when we hear the word of God, and it's spoken through, how many people today? 20 people, and I'm going to limit to what I was going to say just to this one quick point, and that's that a lot of times for us to get the healing that we need a little help from our friends.
Yeah.
We need a little help from our friends. Yeah. We can't always do it on our own. The amazing thing in this story, Luke doesn't tell us this, but Mark tells us in Matthew that there's four guys. Luke just says there's some people. But there's four men that carried the four different corners of that mat. And they brought that friend to Jesus. And that's the love that we've been talking about, and we've been hearing about that theme through the whole service. We need to love each other enough. We need to love each other enough that we'll carry each other to Jesus. We need to love each other enough that we'll not just say, oh, I'll pray for you, but we'll actually pray. We'll deliberately pray. We'll bring it before God, because when the Bible says ask and you'll receive, it might not always mean ask of God. Maybe it means ask of the body, ask of each other. Ask them to pray. Ask and you will receive. We need to carry each other. We need to love each other enough that we're willing to take the mat and we're willing to go the distance all the way to Jesus and to lay each other or lay persons, you know, people who are struggling, people who are crying out to God, lay them at the feet of the one who will touch them.
Amen.
And of the one who will heal them.
Amen.
And sometimes it will not happen because we're not willing to do the work. We're not willing to carry each other. It's too much. I'm just too busy. I got other things to do. The teaching, one of the teachings from this passage, and I'm going to leave you with this teaching. One of the heart of what this is all about is that this is a remarkable thing that happens. It's unusual to get four guys taking their friend all the way to Jesus. And they go into the crowd, and they can't get to Jesus through the crowd, so they back up, and you know what? They go onto the roof, and they do willful damage to someone's property. They do willful damage, and they lower the guy through the roof so that he is at the feet of Jesus. There's only one reason why that happens. It's because they loved him. They loved him that much. They loved him that deeply that they're willing to do that. Are we willing? Listen to me. Are we willing to do that? Do we really love each other? Thank you. Do we really love each other enough that we're willing to carry each other to that extent? I don't know how hard that must have been to carry someone, you know, up to a roof. Even I'm here, you got four guys. This is a hard thing to do. This is a hard thing to do. Hard to bring someone up and to lift them up to the roof so they can get to Jesus. I don't know. You know, that's what it's about. That we love each other enough, that we recognize the needs enough, that we are interested enough in the full healing and the full freedom in each other, that we're going to invest in our lives and care about people, and that we're going to grow our faith. We'll get to that next week, but isn't it amazing that Jesus says, you know, Jesus saw their faith. He saw their faith. And he said, your sins are forgiven. Jesus, here's the deal. Here's the second part. I said it wasn't going to do too, but you got to know this too, that Jesus recognizes when our faith is there. He recognizes when our faith is combined. And he knows that when we join our faith together, there is amazing power that happens in that.
Amen.
Come on up, Cody. Crystal, come on up. We're just going to worship God now. I'm going to pray for the people who are crying out for God right now. If you got nothing else to do, if you don't need God, if you don't need healing, if you don't need prayer, you can pray for someone else. So pray for the people in here. More love, more power. Just worship God. And if you need prayer, just come to the front. Get on your knees. Someone will pray. Let's just worship the King. Amen? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Worship Jesus.
More love, more power, more of you in my life.
Woo!
More love,
hallelujah.